10-minute speaker is Joe Kay from La Mesa.
How you doing, everybody? My name's Joe, and I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to say that I started off at with a familiar family. We all got along. My parents, I would say, did some entertaining. My dad was in management in a high. He worked for General Dynamics. He was a manager there. They did a lot of entertaining. I saw my dad drink. I can't say he drank to excess, but he always had beer and alcohol in the house. My drinking started off quite young. Probably not like a typical alcoholic. I was about 5 years old when I took my first hard drink. It wasn't beer, wasn't wine, wasn't Jack Daniels. See, my dad was a part-time painter. And one summery day, I found a can that had clear liquid in it, and I took a big gulp out of it. Turned out to be paint thinner. I'm here to tell you that alcohol isn't the only thing that'll kill you. I got rushed to the hospital. I still remember them pumping my stomach. That wasn't the last time that happened. They found out later that I hadn't ingested it all. I spit it out on a rose bush, and it too died. About 5 years later, my father introduced me to, gave me my first drink of beer that he was drinking. And I spit it back in his face. I thought it was the most disgusting drink I'd ever had. Didn't want anything to do with it. And that was the last time I had it for about 6 years. Now I'm in high school. Peer pressure got to me. Everybody was drinking. I went to my first party. My girlfriend was drinking. It was a kegger. I didn't want to be the odd man out, so I sucked it up. And I drank and drank. And the more I drank, the happier I got. And with that, my fears got let down. My fear went away. And over time, beer, I can't really say I ever got into wine, but beer, I became a beeraholic. Couldn't get enough beer in me. I remember going to the desert with my toys and going through 3 or 4 cases. And back then, a case was 24 bottles or cans or whatever. And I was your typical happy-go-lucky alcoholic, only I didn't know it because I didn't think I was. So as time went on, I got married, had a child, and I went through bouts of sobriety. Some were a month, some were almost a year. And all of a sudden, one day, somebody introduced me to Jack Daniels. And all of a sudden, beer didn't cut it anymore. I left beer behind, and I was drinking Jack Daniels just like I was drinking my beer. It didn't matter whether it was 8 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night. I loved my Jack Daniels. After I was on my second marriage, my wife said, "You're an alcoholic. You need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous." And I said, "I am not." So I'll prove it to you. And I quit drinking for 9 months. I said, I asked her to quit smoking cigarettes, and I quit drinking my Jack Daniels. And I quit. I wasn't an alcoholic. I could quit for 9 months. Something happened. I don't remember what it was to this day. And I went back and I picked up that drink again. It was just like I'd never stopped. Absolutely kept right on going and accelerated. And once I went from that binge drinker that could control his drinking, the book talks about in Bill's story where alcohol goes from a luxury to a necessity. And that's where I crossed the line. It went to a necessity that next time, and I never quit drinking. I drank for most of the first 10 years of 2000. By the time I got ready to quit, I was a half a gallon a day drinker. My last DUI, and I can still tell you to this day where it was, the officer's name that arrested me, the sobriety test, and he still said to this, I still remember him saying that I almost passed the test. He gave me a breathalyzer, and he looked at it, looked at me, and he said, "We got to do this again." Gave me another one. He looked at it and looked at me, and he says, "Well, I got to arrest you." They took me down to county, booked me, siphoned me with their quart of blood. Somewhere, I never did find out which one, but I was a .37. That's what kind of a drinker I was. I was a very functional. I did not get pulled over for weaving on the freeway. I got pulled over for expired tags on my truck. That's what I got pulled over for. I wasn't speeding. I wasn't weaving. I was driving normally. That's what the CHP officer couldn't believe. That's why we had to do it again, because he didn't believe his breathalyzer. As I want to get up to about November of 2010. I was sitting at our family's dinner. Everybody around the table was having a glass of wine. My mom, my father at this time had passed away. He passed away of a massive heart attack when I was 11 years old. And everybody was drinking wine, my mom and my aunt and what have you. I had my glass of Jack Daniels. And I made a conscious decision at that time that when that bottle was done, I was done drinking like I'd done many, many times before. And I quit. 4 days later, I suffered a massive alcoholic withdrawal seizure. Landed me in the hospital for a week that I still don't remember to this day. When I finally got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't want anything to do with what anybody had to say. I didn't want to listen. I had cotton in both ears and mouth and everything else. And finally, I heard somebody at one meeting almost tell my story identical. And then I started listening. And with that, I paid attention at every meeting I've gone to, because you will always take something away from a meeting. And I still do to this day. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a life beyond any life that I ever had when I was drinking. So, with that being said, I'd like to welcome to all the newcomers. The one thing that I've learned is in this program, and it's one of my favorite passages at the end of the book, is a man with 30 years says to a newcomer, He says, remember, it's not the destination, it's the journey. Thank you.